Hi everyone, just wanted to acknowledge and give our respects to anyone in the Saugus, California area who are affected by the tragic shooting at Saugus High School. This hits very close to home for me as I attended and graduated this very high school myself. I live up the street from the high school, and as somebody who has witnessed a shooting, it is extremely triggering. We had a frantic morning, but others lost their lives. Our community has forever changed. We recorded this episode a few days prior to the incident, so you may notice the tragedy is not mentioned in our interview. Our hearts and minds are with everyone involved. Saugus strong.
Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules.
We're a conversational podcast about various topics like mom life, relationships, body positivity, and what's trending.
We are women supporting women through chit-chat and laughs.
We promise to be candid, relatable, and best of all, we're not afraid to laugh at ourselves.
So thanks for joining us. Enjoy.
Welcome to Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. I'm Nicole, the admin for the Enraged Woman Facebook group, and joining me is Jules. She is the creator of the popular blog called Suburban Artsy Mom. Hey, Jules.
Hey, Nicole. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I am fantastic. I'm excited for today's episode.
Yes.
And I was just giggling right now because you were trying so hard to stumble through that intro.
Yes. I was trying not to laugh, as usual. I just have two sentences to say in the beginning, but I somehow put so much pressure on myself. I try not to laugh, but sometimes I do, and that's okay.
I feel like we're on SNL, and I'm like trying not to look at you because I'm going to make you break because I'm breaking.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Our podcast is Lipstick and Laughs, so it's okay if we laugh.
Yeah. So, Nicole, today I'm so excited because we have a very special a guest today. Her name is Kathy Card. She's here with Damsel in Defense. Mm-hmm. It is a fantastic company. I've actually attended one of her parties before, but go ahead, Kathy, say hi.
Oh, hi, everyone. Thanks for having me, girls.
Of course. Right. And Kathy, I must say, I when I met you, you look so strong and fierce, and I just wanted to learn from you. Yes.
So
I was excited. Oh, thank you. I was so excited about this.
The first thing I saw from you the sun was shining on your face when I walked in the door, so I could see nothing but your shirt that says "Tough Like a Mother."
Yes. It's a theme for today, right? I thought I might as well put this on.
I walked into the house and she's all, "Look, I'm wearing this shirt for her because it's a defense company."
Well, I wear this shirt for you.
Oh, good.
My life is where I fight.
Oh, it so is. Yes, that's a great shirt.
I love it.
Yep, and then Julianne has a Beyonce shirt that's just as fierce.
Super fierce, man. I'm like Sasha Fierce over here in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I love it. Well, let's talk about our lipsticks real fast.
Okay.
Nicole, tell me, what are you wearing today?
Well, you know, I love ColourPop, the brand, and this is like a very nude color that I have on. It's called Chi. Or chai.
Chai, I would say.
Chai.
Yeah.
Maybe chai for like chai latte, because it kind of looks chai latte-ish. Mm-hmm. And it goes on my lips really smooth, and I think it complements my skin, and I really enjoy it. So it's not too dark or light.
I think it's funny that it's the brand ColourPop, because it's very new.
Yeah. Yeah. This color doesn't pop.
No. Psychology. Yeah,
yes.
Exactly. And Kathy, I had her prepared. I was like, we talk about lipstick. Let's hear
That's
about
okay,
your lipstick.
Because the funny thing is, you know, when people say, what's the one thing, if you had to bring one thing on a desert island.
There you go.
There's only one thing you could have. I can't stand the feeling of my lips without something on them. So lipstick, I had to laugh because lipstick is the one thing. And I am a diehard MAC girl.
Yes. Ugh.
So today I'm wearing their half red liner and their frost fluid lipstick because I love those burgundy tones.
Yes. It looks
yes.
really cute.
Thank you. It really looks good on you. Yeah.
I like that it's got a little bit of shimmer in it.
Yes, and it needs to be creamy. I see yours is matte.
Yeah, it's pretty dry.
I can't do the dry ones.
It feels very tight when you have like a matte one.
Yeah,
you
need the moisture.
I need to feel moist. I I know people don't like that word. Sorry, more, listeners. Yes. that's a no-no word. I need to be able to rub my lips together. And I don't know. I just have to, if it feels dry, I need to put something on.
Yeah, I understand that. For me, for the matte finish, I like it because my hair doesn't get stuck in my lips, you know, or it lasts longer. And then I also like the look of it. But, you know, I do both. Mm-hmm. So I think you look great. Thanks.
Thank you.
I tend to stick to chapstick. But today I brought a different kind of product because every time I put on lipstick, I'm like, oh, my lips, they're just like, I feel like they need to exfoliate.
Okay.
Maybe that's just me, but I use an exfoliator on my skin every day. So I got this product. It's a sugar scrub. And you just scrub it on your lips and it exfoliates your lips. Mm-hmm. So this is what it's Bliss Fabulips Sugar Lip Scrub.
Can I smell it?
This smells good.
Yeah, you can, here, take just a little bit and you can like rub it on your...
Very light scent. No, I love these.
Yeah, it's like a vanilla sugary...
Yeah.
Yeah.
I tried to get
smell a little bit of coconut oil in it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, that's good for you.
Yeah, but that's what I like. Sometimes before bed at night, I'll use this. Mm-hmm. So then I wake up in the morning and my lips feel fabulous.
Yeah, nice and soft.
Sometimes there's like random bits of sugar that are going to just like... I'm like all well, over
sugar
me.
It's a sugar scrub.
It's a sugar scrub. Yeah, it's just for exfoliation. It's not a color, but it's something that you would use maybe before you put on that matte lipstick.
Yeah,
your lips are very smooth, though. Mine, I feel like they get, like, crusty. I don't know. Hey, I'm really going for attractiveness today.
Yes. I try to get my kids to use something like that, because, you know, when kids get those chapped lips, instead of just throwing the Carmex at them, which works amazingly, but they don't, it's weird for them.
My daughter bites her lips, like, this all day long, and she gets chapped underneath her lips. She gets like this big red. Ouch. Oh, it drives me crazy.
And then with the cold weather, it just takes forever to go away.
It drives me so crazy. I'm like, stop biting your lip. You look like your face. You look like the Joker.
No, that's not a nice thing to say to your dog.
You're beautiful, but you.
Yeah.
But you look like the Joker.
On that note, let's move on to our special guest, Kathy, who's here to talk about Damsel in Defense. We're very excited to have her on the program today. As I mentioned, I've attended one of the parties where she comes and she talks about all sorts of self-defense products, and I ended up buying two. I got the pepper spray, and I don't know what to call it. It's a jabby thing.
You jab
it into the sides. And I did get a lot of weird looks, like, from my husband. Like, what are you going to do with that? I'm like, you want me to use it? Because I'll show
exactly
you.
What is that? How do you say it?
A Kubaton. It's a martial arts tool.
There you go.
Okay.
Well, tell us.
We are funny at Damsel. We call it a socket to me, but...
I like that.
But technically, it's a Kubaton, ours is a keychain striking tool. Okay. So you jab soft tissue with it and hit bone.
Okay.
Right?
Oh, wow.
So it's a close-range striking tool. Somebody should surprise you, and they're right there, and you don't have time to spray a spray or, you know, get out of the situation in any other way, then that's a nice tool to have. And the good thing about the Kubaton is that it's not age-regulated, so any age can carry it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And that's across the country.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because different states have different laws, but that is across the country when it comes to the Kubaton. What you need to look out for, regardless of what self-defense tool you're carrying, is where are you taking it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? There are a few basic laws, like you cannot be a felon, and you have to be 18 to purchase it. Here in California, you can be 16 and carry stun guns and pepper sprays with a parent note, which is really nice, and a lot of people don't realize that. But
just stick a post-it on the pepper spray.
Just stick a little something in their wallet or
backpack
or whatever. But it's where are you taking it? So you have to follow weapons laws, right? So don't, like we were discussing prior to starting this, you don't want to take it to Disneyland.
Yeah.
They are the number one confiscator. Disneyland and the airport. You do not want to take it to amusement parks, to main concert venues.
Yeah.
Don't walk it on your person on an airplane. Okay.
Schools.
Much of these things can be checked in luggage, but you cannot walk it onto the plane.
Okay.
So check TSA and check your airline rules, because TSA says everything that we carry here is legit and okay to check in your luggage, but it's A, where are you going, and B, sometimes your airline can supersede that and say no.
Right. Okay.
Well, before we get into talking about some of the products, tell us about the company. Tell us what your mission is and how long you've been with that.
Damsel in Defense is an awesome company. I'm so in love with it. I stumbled on them right after they were created. So a few months later, I saw a Facebook post with this adorable logo, and I'm like, what's that? You know, and I happened to be looking for something to do because I had left a job of producing television for over 20 years, and I just needed to do something. I wanted to be productive. Well, there were two reasons that I joined Damsel. One, because I left a big job, I left a big salary.
Yeah.
So, you know, much like many stay-at-home moms, I didn't know how to be a stay-at-home mom, and I needed to bring in a little income. But connected to that, I also needed to feel, I have a need to feel productive, to feel like I'm contributing to society,
yeah.
right? And doing something for the greater good. And when I stumbled on Damsel, I was like, oh my gosh, what is this? I have to be a part of it. Okay. And I looked at it and I was like, oh, this is perfect. I love the mission.
Yeah.
I love the products. You know, you make self-defense products pretty and women will carry it. Okay. Mm-hmm. Whatever it takes to get it in your hand.
Okay? Yeah.
Okay.
And the price point is fantastic. So, you know, and the mission as well. Our mission is to get out there and help equip, empower, and educate women to protect themselves and their families. We want to reduce the statistics.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. For the first few years that I was with Damsel, those statistics were rising and they are no longer doing that.
Oh.
Which is nice.
Yeah.
So hopefully it will stay that way or decrease.
Yeah.
Right? The goal obviously is to decrease. But I think that we can do that by equipping so many, not just women. I say women, right? But we have men in the company and we have plenty of men that purchase our products as well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But to equip so many people that attackers just assume everyone is armed. We want them to just naturally assume that they need to be careful because you're going to be armed
mm-hmm.
with something, right? What your weapon of choice.
Okay. That is such good information, and I'm glad you're here because a couple weeks ago, I went to the beach with my family, and I was actually approached by somebody very, you know, very dangerous, and there was a violent situation that could have occurred, but this is what happened. We had to use the restroom, so we go to the beach restroom. On the way, it's right by the pier. It's in Port Hueneme,
mm-hmm.
and the restrooms are not great.
There were no doors on the stalls.
There are no doors.
That's fine. Because, I know.
Yeah, I guess if you're at the beach, you're already half naked, so why not be all naked in front of people when you go to the bathroom? Anyway, but there were no doors, so that really put me off. And then the beach bathrooms are really dirty and grimy.
Mm-hmm.
So, but we had no choice. The restaurant nearby wasn't going to let any non-patrons use the restroom. So I noticed on the walk going to the bathroom, there was a creepy looking man. I don't know if he was maybe a beach bum or maybe a fisherman from the pier, but he was just staring us down, and it was me and my 5-year-old daughter.
And you're so observant because, I mean, when I'm at a place like the beach, I might not notice that there's some, you know, weird-looking dude, because there's just weird-looking dudes everywhere, especially at the beach.
Yeah, they're looking at you, you're exposed, there's lots of, yes, exactly, and I don't mean by saying beach bum in a bad way, it's just something. So I just felt really uncomfortable. I saw him. I've mentioned a lot of times that I watch and listen and read true crime a lot, so I feel like naturally paranoid anyway. So I saw him. I made sure that I saw him.
Mm, good.
And then I held my daughter close. We walked a little faster. I said, "You listen to me and whatever I say." You know, I had this feeling of the strong woman's intuition. We go to the bathroom. I see there's no doors. I'm not thrilled. She had to go, you know, first. So I had her go and I was blocking her so nobody could see. And I hear him say to another man outside, "Okay, guy, I'm going to go take a peek. I want to see the way a real woman looks, the way God intended."
Oh, God.
So he said it pretty loud, and thank God I heard.
Was he trying to let you hear that, do you think?
I think he was talking to another guy.
You think he really was?
Okay. Yes, I do, because I heard the other guy, and he was just, okay. Oh. You know, and and thank God he didn't say, "I'll peek too." But I also thought, you know what, you should, you know, if you're a decent human, you should maybe say,
yeah.
"No, that's not cool."
Exactly.
You know, he just walked away, and then there were two entrances, and we're in the middle of the bathroom, and I noticed that I see a shadow of a man coming in through the back entrance. Heck no. I see his head get closer and bigger, and I say, wrong way, to him, because I knew it was a man coming in the women's restroom. And then he kind of chuckles. He continues, and I say, wrong way, asshole. And he continues, he comes in, and I say, wrong way, I will fucking kill you. Sorry, I'm cussing a lot. That's just what I had to say. I was high energy.
Well, and at that emotion. Point, did you pull out your weapon?
Yes, I had my purse on me. So
she's motioning.
Yes, I'm motioning. You can't see me, listeners. But what I had done was, once I heard him say this, my daughter's still using the restroom, I pull out my pocket knife. That's like a tiny little machete. I got it from Mexico. It's pretty.
Wow, it's not that
well. It's pretty. The word machete. I got it from Mexico. It's really strong. And then I also had my pepper spray in the other hand. So I have my crossbody purse on. I knew to get those, and I have them each in my hand. And I'm still blocking my daughter as she finishes up, you know. And I myself have to go, but that feeling goes away because of my adrenaline. Mm-hmm. And I'm ready to fight. And he comes in, looks at me, and I said, I will fucking kill you. And he kind of lunges towards me in taunting motion. Like, what are you going to do? Like, lunges towards me, and I lunge forward because, you know, I'm so afraid. And I, you know, tell my daughter, stay behind me. And when I say run, run. And I mean, I saw in those couple seconds of me going to jail, oh, very willingly going to jail after protecting, myself and my daughter, especially. I honestly, in those moments as a mom, you don't care what happens
you're
to
legit,
you.
You're legit, though. You're legit. You're fine.
Yeah. Okay. Moment. And I'm like, well, if anything, you know, happens, oh, well, you know, she'll run. She's quick. He'll get me. You know, I'm thinking of all the alternatives.
Yeah.
Then he kind of chuckles and laughs and knows that I'm, you know,
serious,
and he turns around and leaves. And then my daughter's done. I don't even have her wash her hands. We're out of there, the other entrance.
Yeah.
I thought, and then I didn't want it to ruin my day, but we were like far deep into, like, on the other side of the beach. So I found my mother and I told her what happened.
That would have ruined my day.
Yeah. It was an experience. And I told her, she said, do you want to leave? And I said, you know, no, but I was looking the rest of the time looking for him. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, I kind of wish I would have done more, you know, maybe called the cops, but I don't know what they could have done if they came.
Well, truth is, he didn't break any
law. He didn't.
Yeah, he
didn't.
Unfortunately, that's
how they're going to
view it.
Yeah, I thought maybe for the next person. Yeah.
Right? And you felt it coming, because it's really important that you listen to your intuition. This is something I harp on when I do our Empower Hours, which is our home party, right? Mm-hmm. Our business model is a party plan.
Yeah.
Direct sales company. So we go to homes, groups of friends, just like Tupperware and Pampered Chef, everybody loves, right? And we go to businesses. I do a lot of, you know, office safety talks as well. And I harp on situational awareness, which you had because you noticed him when you were going in, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were listening because you could hear him talk on the outside. But I also harp on listening to your intuition. It's huge, huge. You have to listen to your intuition. For the better part of my life, I would say up until I was a young adult, I ignored my intuition.
Mm-hmm.
And it always would prove to be right.
Mm-hmm.
But my brain would say, you know, oh, nothing's going to happen. Why am I feeling that way? Or why do I feel uneasy here? Oh, you know, because that's, you know, we get in stuck in like a place of normalcy bias where it's never happened before. It's not going to happen now. Why would it happen now?
That's true.
You know,
that's
or
true.
It doesn't happen here. Or I live in a nice neighborhood. Mm-hmm. Or I'm in a gated community. Well, guess what?
Yeah.
The bad guy doesn't care, and he'll make his way. He'll come to you. I like to say crime is full service, right? They'll find their way to you, and they'll do what they have to do to get in. They're not doing things in a law-abiding way. So don't think that just because there's a gate that they're exempt, right?
Yeah.
But, so she told me in advance about your incident, and I want you to know the public restrooms are in the top three places where attacks occur. So it didn't surprise me at all when you told me that story.
I do have another friend that also had a pretty... life-changing incident at a park restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you mentioned that, I was like, well, that doesn't shock me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So you sounds like you did everything right.
You listened
to your instinct. The part that I would have been afraid of is once he left, at least you had two exits. That's not normal. So that's good.
Yeah.
I haven't seen two exits in a beach bathroom. So you weren't, because I would be worried he'd be right there. If you had your cell phone, I maybe would have called somebody to come over and, you know, escort me out. Maybe look to see if there is an emergency phone number or sign in there. Let's say you didn't have anybody. Let's say it was just you and your daughter at the park, and there was only one exit, one entrance exit, right? Maybe there would have been a sign in there to, you know, to call for security.
Right.
In that situation, if there was only one exit, would you recommend maybe yelling? Or would that agitate the person more, do you think?
Because your fear, yelling...
Like, maybe yelling to see... I mean, she's at a busy...
You mean he already left?
No, right? But if you... Yeah.
If this situation happened as it did, and he left, but you're not sure, is he still out there?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. Like, maybe to see if there's some other... Because it was a busy beach restroom. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's someone else out there that would help her, or...
It's possible. You could try yelling. You could try calling out for a fake man's name.
Okay. Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's a good suggestion. Okay.
But he, being out there, knows whether or not there's anybody in earshot. So he could be standing there laughing if there's really nobody around, you know?
Yeah.
Did you have your phone on you?
I did.
Oh, that's good.
Yes.
So you could have, if you needed to, you could have called for help, but also, check and see. You never know. There might be, because usually they'll have some sort of, you know, like for the handicapped or the elderly, some sort of sign if you need help.
Okay.
And beaches know that you're more vulnerable in those locations, you know?
Which is interesting.
So they might have
their
security.
No doors.
Yeah, that's gross.
They thought to put two entrances with no doors on the stalls.
And the stall walls were brick and they were curved. So it kind of gave the illusion of privacy, but there was no door.
Well, and you know what? From the sounds of what he was saying to the man before he came in, it's not his first time doing
this. I was going to say that. Yeah.
Yep. He saw us going. He told, he said what he's going to do and he did it.
Yeah.
And,
because he knows that bathroom is, you know, this is the one with no doors. Let's see what we can see.
Showtime for him. Yeah.
You used your mama bear voice, which was good, because this is something else I teach people is that, you know, we're not used to, as women, we're not used to yelling other than our kids. And that kind of yelling is, clean up your room. It's that high-pitched whiny, irritated, you know, not the back off, you know, not the get out of here. What did you tell him?
I'll fucking kill you.
No, the other
I said wrong way, asshole.
Yeah, but you used your big voice.
Yes.
You use your deep voice, your scary voice, right? You have to practice
I don't know
using
if I have
that
a scary voice.
You think you don't, okay? You think you don't. And I was the same way too. Before I started Damsel, I used to think that also. I used to have this dream when I was a kid, same dream. Now I was a kid, so it was a stupid dream. It was a bear. But I couldn't scream. Like, so in my dream, I'd see this bear and I'd be like, you know, and I couldn't yell anything. So I grew up my whole life, even to an adult, thinking, well, that's how I am.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm just not going to be able to scream if something ever happens. And through working with Damsel, doing the Empower Hours, training everybody else to use and find their voice, unknowingly, I found mine.
Mm-hmm. You know? Oh, that's interesting.
Yes. So what I tell people is just practice, okay? When you're by yourself or if you're in your car, not when you are sitting at a stoplight and there's someone next to you because you're just going to look psychotic.
But that might make it more fun.
Right. but when you're on the freeway or when you're in motion or at home by yourself, you know, practice a couple of short key phrases.
Sure.
Like, you know, like I just said, you know, back off, get out of here, get away, stop following me, things like that. Mm-hmm. Use your big, scary mama bear voice.
Okay.
And don't get caught up in long sentences or too many phrases, but find one or two.
Okay.
Right?
What are some phrases that you...
Those are my favorites. Back off, get away, stop following me. Because traditionally, it's going to be something like that.
Yeah.
You know, wrong, what did you say, wrong way? That's not a typical phrase you're going to have to use. But it could be that they're following you.
Quite possibly. Is he looking for the men's?
No, he's not.
You know, of course.
He was looking for you.
It was all there. Yeah, but I still said, wrong way. Like, I know you're coming in
your situation. That's what you had to say. But in other scenarios, you know, it'd be more of something like back off, get away.
Yeah.
You know, something like that. So find a couple short things, and they will just come out without you even thinking about it.
Okay.
Okay?
And you know what? I'm glad you said that, because we're taught as women to stay polite and speak softly and be nice and, you know, always have that type of temperament when it comes to people. But
be a lady.
Be a lady.
Speak softly but carry a big stick. No.
Right.
But no, not in this situation. So this was another thing I was going to say to you. So I'm collecting all of my thoughts as you're talking.
Okay.
Is that, yes, we are trained to be polite. Okay, we're trained to be courteous. I would say trained, raised, right?
Trained.
Same thing, right? Home training, as they say.
Yeah.
But when your life is in jeopardy or that of your child or mm-hmm. someone you're with that you need to help protect, that all goes out the window.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yeah.
you need to do whatever it takes. Okay. Mm-hmm. And that's where politeness goes out the door.
Right.
And you don't need to worry about that. So
yes.
I'm okay with you saying whatever you have to say. Like, you know, this might sound silly, but I don't lie or any of that stuff, but I don't care what you tell him. Like, if you're going to stun him, you can tell him it's going to make him pee his pants. It's not, unless he's really scared.
You're
but
right.
I mean, tell him whatever you want, right?
Okay.
To make them get psychological with them too.
Okay.
I like to say crazy wins, right? So you got bigger than him in mm-hmm. that situation. Mm-hmm. Yes, you had a knife. Did he see your knife?
Yes.
Okay. Whatever tool you have, you want to make sure you have it visible.
Okay.
That's important.
Okay.
So don't hide it or be discreet about it. So, you know, our product line is very colorful. Yes, we have black as well, but it's very colorful. And I encourage people, I say, if black's your favorite color, then get black because you're not going to carry pink if I give you something pink,
yeah.
right? If you hate
mm-hmm.
color like that. But if you're open to color, get something that's more bright so that they can see it in your hand,
mm-hmm.
right? Not only, yes, can you find it in your purse easier, but but it's more visible to any potential attackers that may be sitting, laying in wait.
Okay.
Right? You're walking through a parking lot, like grocery store parking lots are another top three.
Okay. Yeah.
So, you know, you get that spidey senses, listen to your intuition, you get your spidey senses are going, you're kind of feeling uneasy, like your hairs are standing up, you know, and you think somebody's watching, you know, there could be somebody sitting in their car just looking for the right target,
mm-hmm.
right? But you want to let them know you are not that target today,
mm-hmm. mm-hmm.
that they need to find somebody else, right? And by having a tool in your hand that they can see is going to help that. So your plan A is your situational awareness, not getting into that situation to begin with by making good choices. But sometimes you have to go a certain area. Now, if there's like a safer way to get from A to B, then even if it's a little longer, take it.
Sure.
But if not, like you had to go to the bathroom, there's no other place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
At the beach,
mm-hmm.
right? And you didn't know there was a threat until you got there.
Mm-hmm.
You were walking in when that threat started, right?
Right.
But you, when it started to happen, you pulled your knife out, right? Or whatever tool you have, you can pull that out and just let it be seen, let it be visible, and announce that you have it,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
right? Because they may not be seeing it. They may have focus lock on you and not be looking at what you have. So what I like to do is hold my stun gun, yell one of my fun phrases, and zap it in the air, you know?
Oh.
Right? And let them know, I mean business. You're not going to, you know, I am not your victim today, dude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
My child is not going to be your victim today. So turn around and get out of here.
Yes.
Right? And so I've never had to stun or spray anybody.
Okay.
But I have had a couple of close calls. Interestingly enough, one was in the Mac store.
Oh, wow.
The Mac store.
A full tie-in.
Wow.
No, this guy
Wait,
followed me.
That's such
me
a busy.
It was busy that day too. This guy followed. I was at the mall where the store was.
The local mall.
Yes.
Oh wow.
We don't have to say which mall.
Mm-hmm.
I know, right? That's local. They know where we live. Yes. They know we live in Santa Clarita.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
Yeah. A lot of our listeners are in Santa Clarita.
So I was
too.
At Mac at the Valencia Town Center.
Yeah.
That's fine.
And he approached me outside, you know, in the courtyard area prior to, you know, me going in. I was on my way in there and I declined what he was trying to get me to do. And I, you know, he was trying to prove himself. He wanted a ride. He's showing me ID. I need to get home to Bakersfield. He was just so, the whole, everything about it seemed fake and wrong.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, I'm sorry. You know, now granted, I was raised with five brothers, so I'm skeptical of everybody, you know, like, I feel like, you know, I was, cause they're always trying to trick me, you know what I mean? So I'm always thinking like that too, but everything felt like he was overly prepared, too
mm-hmm.
much helpful information.
He had a lot of information and that's always
an
a sign.
I'm like, no way am I letting you in my car, dude,
yeah.
you know? So I'm like, you gotta be crazy, you know? So I went into the store and he followed me in and I'm like, are you kidding me? You know, seriously? Now, it was a very busy store, and a lot of the women in there, you know, I don't want to scare them.
Yeah.
It's not like you walked into Gold's Gym, and they're all tough, and everyone's going to have your back, you know?
Yes, yes.
I love the Mac store, and that's where I shop religiously. So I went in there, and he followed me in, so I walked to the other side of the store and positioned myself behind one of their shelving systems, where they have all the lipstick,
mm-hmm.
okay? So I have some, I don't know if he has a tool or not.
Yeah.
You know, so I have a cover and I can see because I'm facing him. Now, I didn't want to scare anybody in the store.
Yeah.
You know, because he hadn't physically tried to harm me. You know, I didn't need to get to that point.
Yeah.
Right? So I walked behind and I just looked at him in the eye, gave him that look, you know.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you know, mm-hmm. get out of here.
Of and all I, the women in Santa Clarita to follow into a store, you are the wrong one.
And I held up my stun gun in the air, you know,
yeah.
and not a little wave, but like a, do you want a piece of this kind of wave. I didn't zap it or anything
No,
but see, I didn't want to because all these women would have cried and hit the floor, you know?
Yeah.
So I, but I knew, he knew what it was. And that's the thing. You want them to see what you have. Mm-hmm. I couldn't verbally say it because now I'm on the other side of the store and I'm not going to cause a ruckus unless I have to, you know?
Yeah.
And I was hoping nobody saw this exchange, but hindsight in the end, they did. So he, you know, so he's like, you know, my sister shops here. You know, what do you guys sell? And all the women were like, what? And then ultimately he left. He turned around and left, you know, like he realized, oh, okay, now there's like 50 women staring at me, you know? Mm-hmm. And then everybody was acting scared after he left, you know? And I realized, oh, they saw that whole thing.
Yeah.
You know, but I tried to be really discreet about it.
Okay. At,
you know, as long as I could before we had to take it to another level, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And then similarly, so brandishing it, okay? That's your plan B is just letting it be seen, okay?
Okay.
And then I was in the Target parking lot here, which, you know, for young moms, Target is the start of a lot of these stories, right?
Because
these traffickers, they know you have your small children and they know we shop there, right? They know there's toys everywhere and you're distracted and things like that. So that's a whole nother talk. Mm-hmm. I do talks for mom groups as well and children. But so I was by myself though. I was in the back of my car doing something. I was going in or coming, you know, to the store and this guy rolls up on a skateboard. He was had jeans on. He was in his, look, maybe early 20s. You know, he had jeans on, had a backpack, but I could tell his clothes were probably pricey. He didn't need money. You know, that was the feeling that I got. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why is he coming over to me? He looked like he was going to try to sell me something.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. magazines or chocolate or something. That's what I thought.
Sure.
And and he gets up to me, and he's, you know, literally maybe a foot and a half from me because he's right up next to me. And he looks at me, he looks down, looks at me, and he takes off. There were no words exchanged. It was that fast. And I'm like, that's really weird.
Yes.
Like,
that
my
is
brain
odd.
Was like, what did he see? Right?
Yeah.
So I looked down, and it was the pepper spray in my hand.
Oh, okay. Wow. Was it attached to your keys, and you didn't even realize it?
Because, if you can get yourself keychain spray, which we have a couple of styles, one of which is a keychain, you naturally hold your keychain by the biggest thing on it, whether it's your fob, you know, or whatever it is that's big. That's what you, without even thinking, that's just what you hold. And so I was holding my spray.
That's so good.
So again, brandishing it, letting it be determined. But remember, you have it. Okay?
Yeah.
Because in that situation, I was like, what did he see? And it was that. So good guys, if he was a good guy, wouldn't have mattered. He would have continued to try to sell me his chocolates or whatever he had, you know? But a bad guy, he probably was going to try to steal my purse.
Sure.
You know?
Wow.
Or something like that. So he took off. So it shows you have to let it be seen and don't feel awkward carrying it. It's really important that you don't feel weird, because some people are like, oh, you were just supposed to walk through it holding it. And then people ask, is it legal to do that? Yes. All of these products are legal. Okay. Again, it just depends on where you are. So you definitely have to be 18 to purchase. Lucky for us in California, you can be 16 to carry spray and stun guns.
Okay.
Everything else is not age regulated. Any age can carry it.
Good.
But, and then, of course, like I said, not be a felon. That's the only other catch.
Yeah.
In other states, for the most part, you have to be 18 across the board.
Okay.
Okay. But if you're listening to this and you have any questions, I'm sure they'll give you my contact info after. You can always reach out to me because I can tell you what the law is in your state.
What is the punishment? Like, say, in 10 years, my daughter is 15. And here in Santa Clarita, they don't have it's a public bus system that's dedicated to the schools.
Correct.
But still, it's a public bus.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I know other people aren't allowed to go on it, but
it's just the students. Yes.
But at the same time, so they're sitting there at the bus stop. You know, there could be, what would be the punishment if I were to give her pepper spray? Disney? Would someone really get that upset?
I can't tell you what they would do.
Yeah.
My mother gave it to me.
I could speculate, but I don't want anyone to assume that would be the actual result.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I don't want to.
I think
honestly, they would probably slap your hand.
Yeah.
Look at the situation. This was a child, because I feel so bad. So we're lucky in California that you can be 16, okay?
Yeah.
But I wish it were maybe even 13. 14.
Yeah.
Because kids walk home from school at young ages.
When you start being more independent, when you don't need your mom, like you can walk down to the corner 7-Eleven by yourself, that's when you need that. And you're 13, 14, you know, before you can drive. but you want to go off and do things. Those, I feel like those are really the years that you do need something
there
like that.
There are a lot of working parents and their kids have to. They have no choice. Yeah. My daughter has friends that walk a few blocks home from school, which is, you would think, not a big deal. I did that.
Yeah,
right. I rode my bike and I walked home from school kind of far. But never thought twice about it, right?
Yeah.
But today, no. Mm-hmm. I'm sorry. Like, you know, if I can pick you up right at that campus, I will. So my daughter does have to walk just a block or a half a block to get
me. And how old is your daughter?
She is 13.
And what kind of self-defense advice have you given her?
So what I tell kids, because they're limited to what they can carry.
Yeah. Okay?
If you're under 16, you pretty much can carry an alarm, which I don't want to blast here on your podcast.
Okay. We'll use our imagination.
Because when I go live sometimes and I do alarms or as I zap the stun guns, it cuts out the audio.
Oh, I see.
I give her an alarm that I have connected to her backpack. I have two kids, 11 and 13, both carry that. And then I also give them a Cubaton. Now, my 11-year-old wants one so bad, but I literally pick her up right at the campus.
Yeah.
So, and she's never not with, she's always with me.
Yeah.
So she doesn't have one, but she wants one badly because she's just tough like that.
Yeah.
And she loves,
good for her.
That's her favorite tool. She's
my
tomboy.
She probably looks up to you so much. What a great example you're setting for your girls.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Well, and I want them
and
to see
women.
Powerful women, business women, that you can do what you want to do if you put your mindset to it, but also that you can do something to take care of yourself. So, you know, I talked about as a kid, I walked home from school and never carried anything.
Yeah.
Well, as a young adult, so I grew up around the Huntington Beach area.
Mm-hmm.
And it never dawned on me that I could carry anything or that I should even, you know. And I roamed all over Huntington, Newport Beach, everywhere with my friends, you know. And
I was there too.
Yeah, and it never, and you know, got rides with new friends that I would meet, you know.
Oh,
and it was like,
man.
Never thought twice about it. As an adult, even now as an adult, I would, before kids, I would do the LA, I've done three LA marathons. And when you're training for them, you're running really long towards that end of your training, running really long distance. Mm-hmm. So I would find myself running into areas. I remember feeling, wow, as I'm running, I feel really unsafe. But it never, this is before Danville,
never
right?
Dawned.
It never dawned on me that I could even carry anything, that there was any options.
That's
you
always
know?
The first scene.
It was just
don't
run here, you know?
That's always the first scene of every Law and Order.
Is a woman running
jogging?
Through
right.
Central Park.
Yeah. Well, we have some awesome tools, though, for joggers as well and people that are out and about that I could have used back then.
Yeah.
Because I did not... I hated carrying anything, okay?
Yeah.
Even to carry... And when you're running 17, 20 miles, you need water, right? But I didn't even want to carry my water.
Mm-hmm.
So I would literally just put a buck or two in my pocket, in my that little, in your little jogging shorts, you'd have that tiny little pocket on the inside. And so I would buy it along the way and throw it out, you know?
Okay.
But what we have, or we have a little glove that slips over just the top part of your hand, just over your knuckle area and your palm, and on the inside there is a little spot there where the pepper spray fits in.
Oh, that's
and it keeps you hands
amazing.
Free.
Good,
yeah.
It keeps you hands free.
Yeah,
and
tell us all about your products.
So our main, so it's funny because we're known for our self defense tools, but really we only have a few. We have a larger line of other protection type of items that aren't weapons as well.
Yeah, okay. Like you said, the glove. Yeah.
Well, the glove goes hand in hand with the pepper spray. It's sold separately, but it's for the pepper spray. So so we talked about the keychain spray and why that's a good idea. Well, we also have a pepper spray that has a disable pin on it, and it's like a wristlet for those of you that are listening. You put it around your wrist, and if somebody should grab the pepper spray from you, it disarms it. Okay?
Oh, so they can't use
it
against you.
So they cannot spray you back.
Okay.
And all of our stun guns have that as well. So that's also a great choice, and it's very, very lightweight. And that's the pepper spray that fits into the little glove, if you would like the glove. That keeps you hands free. Now, we just launched something really super exciting. And I think this is actually the first time I'm going big public about it through your podcast.
Okay.
Wonderful.
Because I've been wanting to go Facebook Live for myself, and I haven't had time to because I've been so busy damseling out there. But it's awesome. So what you're looking at here is our pepper spray that is it's called our Protected Pepper, and it has shield technology in the bottom. And what that is something that we just designed, so it's totally incredible. When you spray your pepper spray, it sends a text to your five people that you have programmed into our app.
Oh,
wow.
Gives them your GPS location so they can call 911 for you.
Wow.
Okay? I love it.
It shoots them a short pre-programmed message that you put in there. I say short because I want you to keep it short. I don't want someone reading a novel.
Yeah.
What would a sample text
get
sound
to
like? So for mine, it comes from a random phone number, not you.
Yeah.
So you have to say who you are, right? Now, I mean, it's not like they're going to be having, unless your whole family has this pepper spray, it's not like they're going to be getting it from different people.
Yeah.
So they'll probably know. I suggest that you tell them in advance. You've added them to your
so
list,
so they don't
right?
think it's some spam text. Yeah.
And it, for me, I put in, this is Kathy, call, I'm, you know, I think, I need help, call 911 and give them my location. Mm-hmm. Right? Because it gives them your GPS location. And then you can have, it automatically updates your, it texts them again on an interval that you set from like 1 to 5 minutes. So if you're on the move.
Okay.
It keeps giving them your new location. If you're running, if you've been taken, whatever. It lets them know where you are. And you can set, like I have mine set at 2 minutes.
Okay.
So, but you would have to keep carrying that, or will, does it also attack, like connect to your phone?
It connects to your phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, once you spray it, it follows your phone.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And the good thing about it though, is that you can even just, so underneath the depressor that you spray, so you swipe to the right, just like any pepper spray, and you press down, what's really happening is it's when you, underneath it, there's a little button, and it presses that button, and that's what presses down onto the technology that's inside. So you could, if you don't want to spray,
push
yeah. that.
Okay.
Or you could remove the pepper spray and put an inert one in there, which is a water spray, right? If you have a child that can't carry a spray, and then that way it still... fills the space that's inside of there, and then they can just press down on this.
Okay.
So they can press on that button versus spraying.
What if your child doesn't have a phone?
They need to have, it needs to connect to the phone. Yeah.
Okay.
And there, what's awesome is that it uses, so you have to have Wi-Fi or connection. Okay. And it will, as long as there's no, like, I think the only place it probably wouldn't work is if you were like deep in some cement building.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That kind of thing in those places where
but
you
But it would
get...
know your last location before you went dark.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's pretty awesome. I absolutely
Yeah, that
love
is
it.
Incredible.
Yeah. So I'm excited to.
Yeah.
And the fact that you can just press down on this button, this is something new that we, realize, right? So if you want to give it to a child that can't carry a spray, you could just give them
You have
the
to
outside.
Really train okay. them to make sure they're not pushing that button when
yeah.
like,
they have to be old enough.
Well,
yeah.
you would just stick it in their purse or backpack or wherever they keep
okay.
it. You know
do
what
you
I'm
have
saying?
Any other kind of products, like say on that alarm where you could push the button and it would do the a similar
No, this is
thing?
Our very first Shield, we call it Shield product. But there will be more coming out. Wink, wink.
Great.
Yeah, okay. So because, like, I mean... wink, wink. This is a great idea for a kid. Like you said, that, I mean, there's really not very many options for them to carry, but an alarm that does the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
That would be a
great idea.
Kid line.
Damsel listens. Oh, we do have, we call it our, we do have a children's line and we call it Safe Hearts.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Our Safe Hearts line. We have a couple of different alarms. This is one of them that's in there. It comes in pink and blue. And then we have a line of children's books.
Oh, wow.
I brought one to show you here today. So listeners, just imagine.
Oh, wonderful.
How amazing it looks.
I know. Yeah.
And the purpose of the books is to help parents teach their children how to recognize tricky situations and tricky people. We call them, instead of saying, hey, watch out for Uncle So-and-so, it's tricky people because, what is it, 95% of children know their molesters.
Yeah.
Okay? They're people you know and trust, whether it's friends, family, the barista at the coffee shop you go to every day.
Someone that's
and they're
in
familiar
their life.
With. Or even they're just very familiar with. Like let's say you go to the Starbucks every morning on your way to work and you and to drop your kid off at school and you have them with you and you're familiar with everyone that's in there and you have to use the restroom. Oh my gosh, she's just going to sit right here for a second.
Yes.
Could you watch her? And you feel totally comfortable with that, right?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll watch her, right? So that kind of person too.
Yeah.
You know, just people that they know and trust. And
I always
so this...
tell my daughter when we're out in public to always hold my hand and... I do use a scare tactic, and I say, you are the most beautiful girl in the world, so if any kidnapper wants to kidnap a child, they'll go straight for you first.
Oh, my God.
But it's just, it's not funny, but it's also something that, because I've had lots of, that's just one situation that I've had that I told you about the beach, but I've been in lots of situations that are dangerous, so I'd rather scare her like my mother did. And keep her aware than for her to go through life oblivious.
But
and
it's
attacked.
Really a fine line.
Yeah.
Teaching them this subject and how to be alert and aware without making them paranoid. You don't want her to become a hermit. Right? You don't want to scare her so bad that she becomes a recluse and is afraid to go out and do anything. You know, like she has that victim mentality. You don't want her to have that. You know, you want her to have a warrior mentality. Right? That she can do something about it and that she's smart. and that she's aware and that she can recognize the situation when it's going down mm-hmm. and stop it from happening.
So okay? she's in control of the situation.
Yeah. So what these the majority of our books are to prevent childhood sexual assault. Okay.
Oh, okay.
There are a couple of them that are different. We have gun safety and then we have internet safety as well, mm-hmm. which is kind of along that line of, you know, not seeing anything you shouldn't see on the internet. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
But the rest of them are to help you teach them about what we call tricky people, not stranger danger, right? Anybody can teach your kid about stranger danger. You can give them to a stranger and say, teach my kid about stranger danger, right? But to teach them about tricky people is a little bit different. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So in these books, they're meant, at least for the first time, for you to read them to the child, mm-hmm. even if they can read. Right?
Yeah.
Process through the story with them. Make sure they understand the message
ideas.
That you
yeah.
want them to understand.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, of course.
Instead of like, don't buy it as a birthday gift and send it to the party with little Johnny and just have the kid open the book and start reading, right?
Okay.
You want to gift it to the mom.
Sure.
Or say, Johnny, make sure, you know, you make sure the mom is aware and that they go through the book first time. And then
okay.
after that, the kid can have it, right?
Yeah.
But you want to make sure they're on the same page as you. And the way the book works is we have four different heart defenders of various ages from 4 to 12 years old. Okay?
Oh, wow.
Two girls, two boys, and there's one in each story. And what they do is, so the child is going through their tricky situation, it starts to happen, and their heart signal goes off, right, which is their gut instinct.
Okay.
Okay. And it goes off to heart defender headquarters. These four guys here are heart defenders. And you can think of them kind of like kids' superheroes.
Yeah.
Right?
In yeah.
So once it goes, so-and-so's in, you know, Johnny's in trouble, right? So, you know, it'll take one of the heart defenders and say, you go help them, right? So they go down, they freeze time, they teach the child in the story how and why to get out of the situation and why it's important to tell a trusted adult. Which is huge, right? You need to know who you can trust, and that's something you need to go over with your kids, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who are the safe people in your lives, okay? And they also need to know that some people can or won't help them, okay? Not everybody is willing to help, and not everybody can.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to have, like, a couple few people. I like to say five people.
Mm-hmm.
Count on your hand how many people can, you know, can you have on your list.
Yeah.
And then if that one doesn't help, then you go to someone else, and you keep going until somebody helps you, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, so once the child does the right thing, the heart defender comes back in and gives them a heart defender badge and a pat on the back and makes them a heart defender too. Because now they know how to solve
the situation.
Their situation and
now
they can help their friends
into...
through it as well.
Okay.
Well, you sold me on the book.
Yes, I love
we
that.
We have a wonderful parent guide that goes through it as well. And we have one on public restrooms.
See, and
okay.
I've wanted to talk to my daughter a lot about that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, for the most part, I've just done the whole, if anyone touches you where your bathing suit is, then you need to talk to your mom and dad or your teacher. Like, those
mm-hmm.
are the three people that I'm always like, these three people, tell us.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But I would really love to read those books.
Yeah,
to
and there's a wonderful parent guide that we have as well that I recommend, just one per household, right?
Yeah.
That goes all over all of this. Now, even though the goal is preventative,
mm-hmm.
right, is to teach them how to not get in the situation, what's also happening is that children are coming forward after being read the books with things that have happened that either A...
And they feel confident enough to talk about it.
Yes, because either they didn't know it was bad because
mm-hmm.
maybe they were tricked into thinking it was okay,
mm-hmm.
okay, or they had just held it. And now they're ready to talk about it because that conversation is over. We call them kidversations.
Yes.
You know, you need to open that door. You need to open that conversation.
Wow.
And in the back of the book, you're not left hanging. It's not like the end, now what? Oh, you know, you're sitting there in bed at bedtime. There are questions in the back, question prompts for you to ask your child.
Oh, good.
Okay. So this is great for parents, grandparents, because sometimes parents, I've met, you know what? It's mostly grandparents that buy these books.
Yeah.
Because sometimes the parents are kind of in denial. They think they don't need it, or they're afraid to have that conversation. Because these are tricky conversations.
They
are.
Yeah.
They're not easy, you
know?
Well,
and you don't want to approach them poorly, because then you might give them, you know, wrong information or make them feel scared.
Yes, yes. That's the thing. Is that so we don't want them to be paranoid.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, we just, like I tell everyone, be prepared. Not paranoid.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, then you can feel stronger.
Yeah.
Knowing that you have a plan, knowing that you know how to handle the situation.
Right.
And there are a lot of great free resources on my website as well for these. So if you get the books, we have printables. You can print a badge.
Oh,
like my kids, they were in, I don't know, when we came out with this, lower elementary school maybe. So you can print them a badge, right?
Oh,
so they can color it. They have they can fill out their Heart Defender information in the back of the book and put their picture here and put down like what their strength is of, as a Heart Defender.
So wonderful. There are scavenger hunts, all kinds of things.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. I mean, you had talked about stats earlier, but I'm curious because I have both a boy and a girl. Do parents just forget to talk about that usually? And because I feel like it's always on the in my mind to talk to my daughter about that kind of thing. Oh, I need to make sure I tell my daughter. No, she's five, and I need to make sure she, you know, understands situations. But as I'm sitting here thinking about it, I've never once thought about my son, and I wonder if that's something that parents typically overlook.
I think that what you're going through, not even crossing your mind, right, is probably normal.
Yeah.
Okay? But we should. There are so many young boys out there that are, you know, taken advantage of, molested. And by the way, the books don't use that word. Okay. They're very kid friendly. Okay?
Yeah.
and story-like. But one in four girls and one in six boys are molested. These are the statistics. But we know that all statistics pertaining to boys and men are underreported.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Because as far as men go anyway, like they're ashamed and they don't report it.
One in four girls?
Yes.
And
yes.
It's sickening.
Yes.
It is. I mean, that would be in our mom group, it would be two of the girls. I mean,
It's actually absolutely sickening, and I hate to think about it, but we have to think about it just so that we can be preventative.
And I wonder how many of those are also underreported.
Oh, there are men and families that sweep it under the rug.
Yeah.
Okay. And I hear this a lot, especially since these books came out. You know, I meet an unbelievable amount of women who have gone through this in their families, and their parents have, as children, right, molested by family members, multiple sometimes. I'm not saying at once, but I'm saying over time.
Sure.
Right? And they were told, you know, we don't talk about that. Just, you know, forget about it. And what happens? It keeps happening. Right.
Yeah.
So we actually have a book on that too. Coincidentally, this is not pre-planned, by the way.
And then they lose trust for their parent, and they feel
because your parent in that situation doesn't have your back.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
They need to, and you as a we now shifting gears, right, have to let our children know we have their back.
Yeah.
By equipping them in their mind, we can't put tools in their hand because they're not old enough. Right? Other than the alarms, you know, for the little guys. But we need to equip them in their minds. We need to let them know how to handle these situations. So if and when we're not with them, because, you know, as little guys, you think you're always with your child. There are occasional tiny little situations that occur that you don't think about, you
right.
know, where they may not be with you. If they're at preschool or
something. Yeah. I do with my daughter is I teach her it's her body, her choice, no matter if it's a relative that wants to greet her with a hug. If she doesn't want to hug them, she doesn't have to. And they get a little offended because culturally, it's like, how dare you? You don't love me. You know, I came all this way to visit you. But oh well, I'm sorry. I'm not afraid to offend. Okay. And I don't care.
I am so glad you brought that up because I have a big Facebook Live planned to do later today on that exact topic.
Oh wow.
And I do this one every year as the holiday starts approaching.
Oh, okay? Good.
Because a lot of children aren't comfortable with the family hugs and kisses.
Yeah.
Right? And there's also Santa, right?
Yes.
A lot of kids don't want to sit on Santa's lap. They don't want to be hugged. Yes, sometimes it's just character fear. You know, they're scared
it's
of the big scary character, you know. And other times they're just fearful of being in the arms of a stranger.
Yeah.
And, you know, as parents, and I did the same thing, you know. Oh, it's cute. It's funny. You put them on. You have the crying baby photo. You know what I mean? Don't do it. Like, why risk our kid?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it also sends a message to them that they're not in control of their body.
Right.
Like, especially when you have, and this is what I'm going to talk about in my life. I'll give you a little hint. Especially when you have, and let's admit it, I think probably most adults would do this. Let's say you're the aunt, okay, and somebody comes, your niece or nephew comes over and they don't want to hug you, hello, at Christmas gathering, you know, oh, you want me a hug, I'm so sad, right? People do that, right?
Yes.
Totally would do that because you want that little kid hug so bad,
yes.
right? The good guy.
Okay? You love it, yeah.
And what does that tell them? It tells them that you need to let me put my body on you because I feel bad and you need to feel bad that I feel bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right? So that means, so let's shoot forward now. Your daughter grows up and she's dating and a guy says, oh, come on, you won't kiss me. Just give me a little kiss. Now she's trained. Okay.
Yeah, she's already
right?
socialized.
That she needs to
put somebody above her.
Yeah. That her wishes and feelings
don't
and thoughts
matters.
And body are
yeah.
secondary.
Yeah.
Right. So, and that's where coming in.
Yeah.
Politeness comes in. Again, that's where it goes out the door.
Okay.
You know, so what we need to do is give them an alternative and we need to tell your relatives as well in advance, because your kid's little, you can tell them in advance, your children are five here, we're talking, right? If they're teenagers, I would ask them if it's okay to do this. But for little ones, just tell your mom, hey, you know, Carrie's not really comfortable with hugging everyone these days. So, you know, to avoid it being awkward, maybe just, you know, give her a handshake or a pat on the back when she comes in.
Whenever my kids, because my in-laws, they're very, oh, hugs, hugs, hugs. And my son just, he's not a very touchy-feely kid at all, except for with me. He just wants to be on me all day long. But he doesn't want anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they'll come up and hugs, hugs, hug, and I'll say high fives,
yes.
High fives,
yes.
High five, mm-hmm. High five, and he will do the high five, and everyone's, because they're still getting an acknowledgement, and it doesn't get awkward.
Yes.
That's what I tend to
do.
So
you set that up with him in advance.
So you
help them. They don't know. They're still growing and learning, right? So you give them some options. Hey, you can do knuckles. You can do high fives.
Yeah.
You can do a fist bump, whatever you want. You can do that weird side lean and pat on the shoulder, you know? Another alternative is if you have multiple children, if the older ones or whoever's uncomfortable, let them hold the other child or be held, right?
Yeah.
So that they're not available for a hug. If you're bringing food over to a gathering, let them carry it.
Put stuff into their arms.
Yeah. So they're not available for a hug.
Yes. No?
That's good advice.
And
yeah.
Eventually, like throughout the night or day, whatever you're doing, they will, you know, come up on their own and give a hug if they want to.
And you're like in my head. Yeah, so it may be a phase.
Okay.
It may be a phase that they grow out of or just need to get, you know, more comfortable with the people that you're around.
Right.
You know? Or
it's just how they are. Because I have some friends that don't even, like, I greet Julianne with a hug, but, like, some friends of mine.
I'm very huggy.
They don't like a hug even now at 30-something, so it's okay.
Yeah, I'm a hugger too, but it feels weird for me. But okay, if you want a handshake, we handshake.
You know? It's up to you. It's all good. Like, you don't have to let the societal pressures dictate your behavior and what you should be comfortable with.
And then, I hate to even mention this, but it could be it, so don't get paranoid when I say this.
It's okay.
But it could be maybe something previously happened and they don't want to go there.
Yeah.
Okay.
You know? And we don't know that. They haven't come forward.
They don't talk about
it. You know? So hopefully that's not the case. But there are a variety of, you know, who knows why they don't want to hug.
Yeah.
But that's why
it's
good to have that conversation. Keep those conversations open. Let them know that A, you have their back and you're going to do whatever they're comfortable with to help them, you know, be comfortable in these situations. And that, you know, that they can talk to you.
Yeah.
That you're open to that and you will listen and be their safe place.
Okay. Well, that's wonderful.
Well, ladies, I know this sounds like a shocker because I feel like we could talk forever. And we were talking about this before it started, but we're approaching the end of the episode. So I want to make sure to give you a chance to plug whatever it is that you want to plug. Your website, like you said, you're live. Make sure everyone who's listening to this has all your information. If there's your website, I don't know if there's an online shop that they can buy some of the products that we talked about.
Yes. Yeah, so my website, grab a pen, is classydefense.com. That's DEFENSE, classydefense.com. And you can get all of my contact information is on there. So you can reach me that way. You can reach me through the website, or you can shoot me a text or give me a call. Keep in mind that you can purchase that way, but I would love to chat with you to help you find exactly what you need. So make sure you get the right tools for you or your loved ones if you're giving these as gifts. People love giving these as, you know, birthday gifts, holiday gifts. Mm-hmm. That's why I'm so busy right now is with the holidays coming up, is that it's very well received.
Sure.
And it's a different kind of gift, and it really shows that you care, right?
It's very functional. Yeah.
Well, along those same lines, too, I'm sure if you want to reach out to Kathy to schedule one of the parties that she was talking about, reach out to her now, because I'm sure you're booked through the holidays.
Yes, I'm starting. Yes, I'm booking up.
Okay.
So I'm happy to come to your home, or if you have a place of business, you would like me to come in and do a safety talk for your employees. I do tons of real estate offices, hair salons, right?
Yeah.
I cater it to your needs as well. So my home talk is different than I do for businesses. So I cater it to your specific line of work.
And how far do you typically travel?
I have gone a few hours.
Oh, wow.
Yes. But we can also do things online as well.
Oh, that's
virtually.
Good. Yeah. Wow. Okay. Look at you. 21st century.
I'm so impressed.
You're a fantastic guest. I'm so glad that we got
a chance
to have you on because, I mean, this is so relevant in everyone's lives. This is a women's podcast about women's empowerment with a women's group on Facebook. This is really exactly what we need to be talking about.
Exactly.
Perfect.
And I'm sure we've all had uncomfortable experiences where we're in a circumstance where we're uncomfortable and we want to get away from somebody.
Mm-hmm.
So,
which is so funny because as women, I feel like all of us have contacted the police, but literally all of us have a story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
And that, I think, is sad. but it's the truth.
Well, whether it's of an actual incident or a close call.
Yeah, exactly. Right? Exactly. But I will end this. This has been the Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. You can find us on Instagram at Lipstick Laughs Podcast. You can also send us an email. I'll include our email at the end of this. I am Jules. I am Suburban Artsy Mom. Find me on Instagram. You can look up my blog, suburbanartsymom.com. And Nicole is the admin for the Enraged Women group. You can find them on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Mm-hmm. Look at us go. Check out our podcast. We're on Spotify, Anchor FM, Google Podcasts. Mm-hmm.
Overdrive.
Overdrive. We're everywhere. We're out there. Thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Mwah.
Thank you for having me.
Girl, that is going
to be... Oh, poor thing.
This has been Lipstick and Laughs with Nicole and Jules. If you'd like to be featured on our podcast, please reach out to us at lipstickandlaughspodcast@gmail.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll see you again next week.